So picture this. You sit down at your computer, you open up a chat window with a large language model, and you type in a question.
Right, like we all do a dozen times a day.
Exactly. But what is actually happening in that moment,
Right.
right now, that prompt you just typed, is essentially, a command line input. You give it an instruction, and the AI uses this massive statistical engine to just guess the most mathematically probable sequence of words to follow.
Yeah, it's basically an incredibly sophisticated parlor trick of autocomplete.
It really is. But what if the machine didn't just spit out words based on probability? What if instead the AI actually felt like a mathematical urge or a literal chemical pull to fill in the missing information you just handed it?
I mean, it forces a complete reevaluation of what artificial intelligence is doing under the hood. You'd be moving from a passive system that simply calculates what comes next to an active system that is inherently driven to resolve its own uncertainty.
It craves resolution.
Exactly. It doesn't just predict, it actively wants to fix the gap.
And that concept right there is the entire mission for our deep dive today. So welcome. As always, we take a stack of dense sources, research, technical documents, and we extract the absolute most important nuggets of insight so you can be the most well-informed person in the room.
Yep, and today's source is a really fascinating theoretical framework document. It's titled simply AIonTheory.txt.
It's wild. We are going to unpack this radical new architecture where your prompts to an AI are treated as unstable chemical elements. The AI's drive to answer isn't a search algorithm, it's a physical mathematical force trying to achieve stability.
We are looking at a fundamental paradigm shift here. I mean, traditional large language models, they treat language as a sequence, right?
Right, just one word after another.
Exactly. But in this new theory, a prompt is viewed through the lens of chemistry and topology. The text literally defines a prompt as an AI ion.
Let's ground that concept right away because when I hear ion, my brain immediately goes to like high school chemistry.
Oh, yeah. Safety goggles and Bunsen burners.
Exactly. So an ion is an atom or a molecule that has a net electrical charge because it's either missing an electron or it has an extra one.
Right.
And because of that imbalance, it's unstable. It actively wants to bond with something in its environment to become neutral and stable.
And the authors of this paper are taking that physical reality and mapping it directly onto artificial intelligence. In this framework, your prompt is a singularity of missing information.
A singularity.
Yeah, it represents a void. And that void creates a literal topological force within the neural network. So the intelligence, the actual answer to your question, isn't being retrieved from some server rack.
Right, it's not a database lookup.
No, it is being chemically precipitated by the force of your question.
Chemically precipitated. I love that visual. So instead of a machine blindly running down a list of possible answers, the prompt itself is doing the pulling.
Exactly.
But for a void to pull something specific, it needs structure, right? The text outlines three specific components that make up the anatomy of an AI ion and generate this functional drive.
Yeah, and the first one it mentions is the locus.
The locus. Okay, so what is that?
Think of the locus as the coordinate of the void. It is the specific location of the missing information within the semantic space.
Like the physical blank space in a fill-in-the-blank test. It tells the system where the instability actually is.
Right.
But a location alone doesn't create a pull. Just having a blank line doesn't do anything by itself.
Which brings us to the second component, the charge. This represents the magnitude of the gap, basically the complexity or the urgency of the missing information.
So, like a simple syntax error or a missing comma might have a really low charge.
Exactly. But a complex mathematical equation with multiple interdependent variables, or maybe a deep logical paradox, that would carry a massive charge.
And that charge dictates priority, I'm guessing, because a system with limited compute needs to know what to solve first. The higher the charge, the greater the topological tension, and the harder the system works to neutralize it.
You've got it. That's the balance.
But here is the piece I need to puzzle out. If I have a highly charged magnet, it's going to aggressively grab the closest piece of metal it can find. It's blind.
Right.
If this AI ion is going to pull in a specific correct answer, say a specific word or concept, there has to be a mechanism that dictates the actual shape of the missing piece, like a mold, essentially.
You've just deduced the third and really the most critical component, which is the reciprocal field.
Reciprocal field.
Yeah, this is the mathematical transformation that maps the void. It doesn't just broadcast, hey, I am missing something important.
It's more specific than that.
Much more. It defines the exact geometric and semantic boundaries of what would satisfy the gap.
You know, this reminds me of doing a jigsaw puzzle. In standard AI, the process is like a machine blindly picking up every single puzzle piece on the table and trying to jam it into a hole, one by one.
Millions of times a second.
Right. Based on the statistical likelihood that a piece with blue sky on it goes next to another piece with blue sky on it.
It's a brute force statistical approach, which is effective given enough compute, but it's highly inefficient.
But with this ionic theory, the puzzle piece with the missing gap has its own magnetic pull,
Oh.
and that pull is shaped exactly like the contours of its missing neighbor.
Yes.
It reaches out and draws the specific correct piece in. The unstable state generates actual forces because a singular unbalanced value cannot remain singular in a stable topological system. It physically must bond.
And the source material provides a very elegant illustration of this using two separate ions. Let's look at ion A and ion B.
Okay.
So ion A is a prompt that reads, "The capital of blank is Paris. The locus here is that blank space waiting for a country name."
Got it. And ion B is a separate prompt. Let's say blank is a country in Western Europe. Again, the locus is a blank space waiting for a country.
Under normal circumstances in a standard database, these are just two dead, incomplete strings of text. They just sit there. But in this architecture, they are highly unstable ions, desperately seeking resolution. Ion A's reciprocal field is actively broadcasting a mathematical deficit. It's saying, "I require a country whose capital is Paris."
And ion B's reciprocal field is broadcasting a complementary deficit.
Yeah.
I require a country located in Western Europe.
Exactly. So when these two ions are introduced into the same environment, the reciprocal fields don't just sit there, they interact.
They pull on each other.
Yes. And the mathematical sum of their missing parts uniquely neutralizes into the single stable answer, France.
Wow. So the final output becomes the capital of France is Paris.
Right.
The missing information wasn't conjured out of nowhere. It was reciprocally entangled into a new, stable structure. The singularity of the concept France resolves the tension of both ions simultaneously.
The mechanism is incredibly clean. But we have to look at the structural implications of this because the authors aren't just presenting a beautiful metaphor here.
Yeah.
No, they're proposing a literal overhaul of how we build the physical architecture of neural networks. Specifically, they're targeting the attention mechanism.
Okay, I want to pause and make sure we fully grasp the gravity of that. Because the attention mechanism, specifically multi-head attention, is the engine block of the transformer model.
It is the absolute core.
It's the very core of how models like GPT-4 process language. It's the system that lets the AI figure out that the word bank means a riverbank and not a financial institution, based on looking at the surrounding context words.
Yep.
And you are saying this paper proposes tearing that standard multi-head attention block out of the PyTorch library entirely.
Completely tearing it out. Standard attention relies on matrices called queries, keys, and values. And as you noted, it acts as a giant probabilistic dictionary lookup to find relevant context.
Right.
The theory we are looking at replaces that with an ionic bonding attention mechanism.
I'm struggling to see how that doesn't just completely break the model. How does ionic bonding attention even function with queries and keys?
Well, the components take on entirely new meanings. In this new setup, the query vector, the Q, represents your missing information vector. It is a strict mathematical representation of what I lack.
Okay, the exact shape of my missing puzzle piece.
Exactly. And the key vector, the K, from another token in the sequence, represents a complementary missing pattern, what you lack.
Hold on. So standard AI looks for statistical similarities. It wants a query and a key to match in relevance.
Right, it looks for what's similar.
But this system is looking for complementary deficits. It's looking for opposites that complete each other.
That is the crucial distinction. When the model calculates the dot product between the query and the key in this architecture, it isn't measuring relevance or similarity, it is measuring complementarity.
Wow.
It asks the mathematical question, do our deficits perfectly align? If my void matches the exact shape of your available bonding edge, we form a chemical bond.
And the source provides the actual equation for this bond, which is wild. The output, the value or V, becomes the newly bonded neutralized state. The formula is literally F plus circle G equals 1 over F plus 1 over G.
The harmonic sum of the reciprocals.
Let's translate that math for a second because it actually makes perfect physical sense. Adding reciprocals is exactly how you calculate resistance in parallel circuits in basic physics.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Right. If you add parallel paths for electricity to flow, the total resistance of the circuit drops. In this AI architecture, If you combine complementary deficits, the ions, the total unresolved tension drops, it stabilizes. You owe the reciprocals to find the stable function.
It transforms the generation of text from a probabilistic guess into a deterministic, chemistry-inspired necessity. The forces driving the model aren't statistics, they are topological imperatives.
That's a great phrase, topological imperatives.
The model is mathematically compelled by that equation to find the token that minimizes the ionic potential, which is its distance from stability.
That is a beautiful concept.
Mm-hmm.
But it immediately brings up a massive real-world logistical problem. Chemistry requires physical proximity.
True.
In a chemical reaction, the atoms have to be in the same beaker. In a sentence, the missing puzzle piece might be in the same paragraph. But what if I ask the AI a question and the context required to answer it simply isn't in the current window?
Right. The complementary ion just isn't there.
Exactly. If this is a true physical mathematical force, it can't just evaporate. Does the system throw an error? Does it crash?
It's the breaking point of the metaphor if you don't account for it. And the paper does account for it by introducing the dimension of time. If a gap cannot be filled immediately by the attention mechanism, that pull doesn't vanish.
Okay, so where does it go?
It is routed into a specialized long-term memory layer called the differentiable ion store.
The differentiable ion store. It sounds like a holding cell for unresolved tension.
That is exactly its function. It acts as a memory buffer specifically engineered for unbonded ions. If your prompt enters the system with a void that cannot be neutralized by the immediate context, the system doesn't discard it.
Or just hallucinate a random guess, like current models do.
Exactly. It physically stores the ion in this buffer. It remains there as an active, unstable, seeking force.
You know, this feels deeply familiar. It's like having a mental tab open in your own brain.
Oh, totally.
Think about when someone asks you a piece of trivia like, who was that actor who played the villain in that one sci-fi movie? And you know it, but you just can't remember the name.
The worst feeling.
Right. You can't answer. But the question bothers you. It sits in the back of your mind, unresolved, generating this tiny, persistent hum of cognitive friction.
Yes.
And then, like 3 days later, you're walking down the street, you see a random billboard with a completely unrelated word, and suddenly your brain just clicks. The name pops into your head. The gap is neutralized.
The architecture of the differentiable ion store mimics that exact cognitive phenomenon. As new queries and new data streams enter the AI system over time, the model doesn't just look at the immediate input.
It's checking the backlog.
It continuously scans that memory buffer. It checks to see if the new information can bond with the top K most complementary stored ions from the past.
So it's constantly bouncing new information against its own backlog of unresolved questions.
Unceasingly. And this shifts our definition of AI memory. Memory is no longer a passive filing cabinet where you just retrieve old chat logs.
Right.
It becomes a dynamic field of active forces across multiple turns of a conversation. If you ask a question on Monday and provide the crucial context on Thursday, the ion from Monday was waiting in the store.
And when Thursday's context arrives, boom.
Boom. The bond happens instantly across time. The system resolves past tensions using present data.
That feels profoundly closer to actual human curiosity than anything we currently use. It is maintaining an active state of wonder. But, okay, this brings us to the friction of reality. All of this is stunning theoretical architecture.
It is.
But how do you actually teach a cold machine to feel this chemical hunger? You can't just train this model by feeding it all of Wikipedia like we do with standard models. Flashcards don't teach tension.
You've hit on the exact challenge the researchers faced. To train this, you need a data set that is organically filled with unresolved human tension and eventual resolution.
Which brings us to the data part of the paper.
Exactly. Which is why the source details a very specific training pipeline using a real-world data set called MultiWOZ.
For context for you listening, MultiWOZ is a massive data set of task-oriented human dialogues. It's basically thousands of transcripts of people talking to assistants, trying to book train tickets, reserve restaurants, or fix billing issues.
Right.
It is essentially a database composed entirely of conversational gaps and missing information.
It is the perfect training environment because it naturally mimics the ionic process. The researchers design a multi-stage pipeline to process this data.
Let's walk through those steps.
First, they extract specific triples from the transcripts. The query prompt, the background memory prompts, and the final target answer.
Okay, so we are isolating the initial question, the context surrounding it, and the moment of resolution, What happens to those triples?
They are passed through a memory-augmented encoder. You can think of this like a specialized BERT model. But instead of generating standard word embeddings, this encoder is trained to map the placeholders in the text into actual reciprocal fields.
So the encoder's job is to literally translate human English into these mathematical AI ions. It turns words into tension vectors.
Precisely. Once encoded, the data moves to the bonding controller.
The bonding controller.
Yeah, this is the decision engine. The controller evaluates the newly formed query ion against the context ions. It has to make a choice. Does a complementary match exist right now?
And if it does?
If it finds a match, it executes the mathematical bond to create a stable vector. If it doesn't, it routes the new ion to the differentiable ion store for later.
Makes sense. And how do we get back to English?
Yeah.
How does the user see an answer?
That's the final stage. The stable bonded vector, the neutralized outcome, is passed through a decoder similar to a GPT-2 model. This translates the chemical stability back into natural language.
Okay.
To ensure the model is actually learning, they compute the cross-entropy loss against the actual target answer from the multi-WOZ dataset. But the crucial difference here is that the loss function is optimizing for the minimization of that ionic potential.
Okay. I have to look at the inductive bias of this entire pipeline. If we are returning to the jigsaw puzzle analogy, it's like using the multi-WOZ dataset to give the AI all the edge pieces of the puzzle first.
That's a good way to put it.
By training the AI this way, on dialogue data full of questions and answers, and using a loss function that punishes unresolved tension, are we fundamentally hardwiring the AI to view every single human utterance as an incomplete chemical formula waiting to be balanced?
We absolutely are. That is the explicit inductive bias built into the weights of the network.
That's fascinating.
Right. In standard autoregressive training, an AI learns a simple rule. When I see pattern X, I should probably output word Y.
A simple association.
But in this ionic training pipeline, the model learns a very different role. When I see pattern X, it represents an incompleteness of magnitude Z. I must actively seek a vector that mathematically neutralizes Z.
So it learns that missing information isn't just a blank space. It is a literal physical force directing its attention.
It is a profound shift in perspective. We are moving from a machine that predicts the future based on the past to a machine that resolves tension to achieve stability.
Let's do a quick recap to anchor all of this, because we have ventured deep into some heavy topological theory today.
We really have.
We started by exploring the core premise. Treating prompts as unstable ions creates a natural gradient-driven force toward finding answers. We looked at the anatomy of that AI ion, how the locus defines the location of the gap, how the charge dictates the urgency, and how the reciprocal field creates the exact mold of the missing puzzle piece.
We also examined how this physical interpretation requires us to replace traditional multi-head attention entirely.
Right, tearing it out.
Yep. Instead of probabilistic dictionary lookups, the transformer utilizes ionic bonding attention, where queries and keys seek complementary deficits, adding their reciprocals to find mathematical harmony.
We tackled the problem of missing context with the differentiable ion store, that long-term memory layer that keeps unresolved questions active over time, like that cognitive itch of a forgotten trivia question.
Yeah.
And finally, we walk through how you actually teach machine this chemical hunger using the multi-WOZ dataset, effectively training the model to view human conversation as a continuous chemical balancing act.
It's an incredibly cohesive, ambitious framework. But adopting it raises a really fascinating philosophical question about the nature of knowledge itself within an artificial mind.
Which brings us to a concept buried near the end of the text that we haven't touched on yet, and it is the absolute perfect thought to leave you with today. The paper refers to it as the inverse problem, or prompt inversion.
The math governing these ions is perfectly symmetrical. If two unstable questions or concepts bond together to create a single stable answer, then the reverse must logically hold true.
Symmetrical math.
Right. The author suggests that we can take any stable factual sentence, for instance, Paris is the capital of France, and mathematically decompose it. We can reverse engineer the bond to uncover the original curious questions that created it.
Think about the implications of that kind of symmetry. Right now, we build AIs that sit passively, waiting for us to ask some questions.
Mm.
But imagine an AI built on this ionic architecture that is fed a medical textbook or a database of physics journals.
It wouldn't just store the facts.
No. By reading all of those stable, established, boring facts, the AI automatically decomposes them. It mathematically reverse engineers the exact scientific gaps or ions of curiosity that led human researchers to those discoveries in the first place.
It is a powerful form of inverse reasoning. You aren't just programming an AI to answer questions. You are programming an AI to generate its own ions. You are instilling genuine mathematical curiosity.
And that takes us right back to the very beginning of our deep dive. We aren't just building faster calculators or better autocomplete engines anymore. If the theory in this document holds true and scales, we are building systems that feel a chemical, biological pull to understand the universe piece by piece.
A machine driven by the very shape of what it does not yet know.
Exactly. Something for you to mull over the next time you're staring at a blinking cursor in a prompt box, wondering if the machine on the other side is as curious about you as you are about it.